My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Tuesday. Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday today. Tuesday. I had to check. I can't believe it. But today is Tuesday, and the volume's like blowing out the top. That's why the voice was so weird. Anyway, today is Tuesday, April 30th in the year 2024. I'll tell you, this time we are in, is things just go so fast. I'm telling you, it's insane. I don't know if anybody, I keep saying this, and people, I have some people go, yeah, you're right. And other people say, you know, you're just making it up because there's so much going on. I'm like, I'm not really. I love this. Someone said warp speed. That's what Operation Warp Speed actually was the acceleration of our brain time continuum, pushing us to another level. I'll tell you. We have traveled a long distance, quite frankly, in this last couple of years, few years. And was reflecting yesterday, I was gardening, putting in bush beans. And I've got a bunch of squash and zucchini I'll get in this weekend. I travel this afternoon, by the way, just in case the show might be a little late tonight. I don't think so, but I'm going down to see the puppies at 11:30 this morning. And then I'm heading down to Church of Glad Tidings, which is another 5 hours or so down there to get there because I'm teaching tomorrow morning. I teach from 8 to noon. Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday. Somebody was asking that about being able to join in. because I guess they were there in the area. Unfortunately, this isn't one of those events. This is what's called the School of Excellence, and it's something Dave Bryant has started. And it's for college kids, or at least aspiring college kids, to try to give them some life experience of things we've done and what we do, and in the process get them turned deeper and in a deeper relationship with God. So it's a real honor to be down there. David asked me to come down and teach, and I was very, very honored to do so. So I'll be heading down there this afternoon. But in the process of this, I was gardening yesterday, and I'm just reflecting, even the garden. I put this garden in 3 years ago, and this is our third season, and it is just tremendous how much distance we've made in 3 years. We're going from what was literally hard clay to the strength of concrete almost, to a point where now the garden is it basically sustains this family here. So this is great. I mean, everything we consume comes fresh, vegetable wise, comes from that garden, and fruits. So that's really amazing. It's amazing improvement and development. My blueberries are now in their second year, and they're doing fantastic. Really are. And we've got strawberries that are already starting to look good. And we got one of the beds ready, and it'll be finished this weekend. And then we've got about four more beds to go. So any really good stuff. We planted also 9 grow bags of potatoes yesterday. So that was good. So it was a pretty productive day. But just reflecting on where we were and how these things we start are a big change in our lives when we do them, and then they just become part of our routine, and how important those routines are in this day and age, which is truly there. Hey, real quick, before we get going, the economy obviously is doing its thing. We're watching them try to manipulate us out of our money. We're dealing with truly psychopaths, and that's just part of the joy and fun of living in this world of the 24th, 23rd, 21st century. I can't even keep track of where we are in the time continuum of life. But anyway, do take good care of your retirement savings. It's important. They want to do everything they can to eliminate it. And if you're in just a standard 401k or IRA, then you're backed by nothing more than the glory of paper. So this is why we have Birch Gold. Head on over to type in BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, text it to 989898. Again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. And you will get a free information packet from Birch Gold. They're awesome. You can read it, get informed, give them a call, and they'll guide you through the process of setting up a precious metals-backed retirement account. It's important, and if you have an existing 401k or IRA, you can transfer it over for no additional charge to you. Great group, great product, great people to be part of. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. And that's at BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Get that free information packet, read through it, give them a call, set up an appointment, and get busy protecting your retirement savings, which will be fantastic. I'm going to play a piece here. This is what I might call a walk down memory lane. I don't know that I would say it's a good one, but it's a reminder of how insane we all became, as a nation, not necessarily anybody here, but as a nation, how insane this whole COVID thing was.
The college scholarships
now offering kids 12 and up limited edition.
Hold on a second. That started midway, which it should not have.
Edition Avengers comic books.
Thousands of prize.
The college scholarships.
Now offering kids 12 and up limited edition Avengers comic books.
Thousands of prizes available.
Including cruises and Super Bowl tickets.
They're giving away Ford F-150 trucks. They're giving.
Okay, so all of this you're hearing are the promotions to take the COVID shot. Sorry, here we go.
Wave shotguns and hunting rifles.
Marijuana dispensaries are giving away
joints for Jack.
Krispy Kreme announcing this week a free donut.
And yes, free beers.
That's right. Get a shot and have a beer.
Today could be your lucky day.
California's vaccine lottery.
One grand winner to take home
up to $5 million if you get vaccinated next week.
They made it exciting, right? There's a reason people go to Vegas.
It really could be somewhat lucrative if they aren't already persuaded.
13-year-old Joshua says one of the best parts of getting a shot at Mickey D's, lunch on the house.
Just think of this when you think of vaccination.
Vaccination.
If you need luck with love, dating apps are offering incentives too.
A Vienna brothel is providing COVID-19 vaccinations and giving those who take up the offer a 30-minute session with a, quote, lady of their choice.
We have finally found the one thing that makes us all more attractive, a vaccination.
To love one another, as Jesus said, get vaccinated, get boosted.
Do you think that it's being posed as politics, but it's behaving like a religion?
Because it's acting like a religion.
And there we have it. The religion of COVID con. For all of those out there that took the shot, you were scammed so deeply. I pity you and we will pray for you. But you were scammed. And that's a sick thing indeed. We have another issue here that's come up this morning, which is pretty dark. Let me get this one up. This one is actually an update on a guy from Gitmo.
I have now uncovered previous cases involving the high-ranking military official Bruce Manili, who lived on a multi-million dollar property that Seattle police shot over 20 times when he showed up to a hotel to meet a mother who he believed would rent him her 7 and 11-year-old daughters for his pleasure. Though we found out that this was a sting and pulled a weapon, police then pulled weapons, they won. This man was the commander of Guantanamo Bay's medical facilities for multiple presidents during the U.S.'s war on terror, overseeing care of what the U.S. classified at the time as enemy combatants and considered potential terrorists. Please, real quick, share this and save to help push it. I'll explain why shortly. I have struggled to get national media to even touch this story at all, the same way I did weeks ago when former Seattle mayor's home was raided and his adult son was arrested for distributing images of children, even though my day job is to distribute stories to local and national media outlets. I've now found multiple cases in the past where Manili was involved in sex trafficking and escaped jail time or other further consequence by claiming he had a mental health issue. So instead, he was given court-ordered counseling. I also now have his mental health evaluations, though some of the records I still don't have because the military was overseeing those cases. I want to show you all of these documents and put this together, but here's the problem. TikTok is trying to prove to the U.S. government that it's willing to hold back rapid spread of information and doesn't need to be banned because of it. In turn, they did the following to my account last week after I posted about this. They pulled the initial video and gave my account a strike, even though it didn't show the body cam footage or anything like that. I won the appeal, but hours later they notified me that even though it didn't violate guidelines, they were adding a cover to it, removing it from FYP, and removing all funding because it was found not to be in the interest of the public to see. They then have dropped my RPM rate in the creator program down to 14 cents and also removed funding from the follow-up video where I showed you exactly who this man was and what positions he held in the military. I have not insinuated a conspiracy or anything like that. I have simply shown what the available documents plainly state without insinuation or speculation. In turn, I have talked to the creators and controllers of a new app called Riftsea I've talked about in the past. They have promised me that they will never remove my content and will not suppress free speech, but that they will still have safeguards in place to make sure that that...
Anyway, so here's what's interesting about this. This guy was the Gitmo head of the... I'm getting some additional information here. So he is obviously a mental health guy, the Navy officer at Gitmo that deals with the mental health area. And this dude ends up being a pedophile, right? I think what we have to start coming to grips with, and this is really strikes at this chord, which is both the positive side of this, which is the 231, and the other side of this, which is this current state of our military. And it's something that you have to balance a little bit here. The 231, which we haven't talked about much this last week, the 231 represents those a small cut of a growing number of people in our nation that have served and are in service that believe full-heartedly in the Constitution and what it will take to reset this nation. The current military is broken. It needs to be dismantled. It has become a bureaucracy and a pit of debauchery. As I read the piece yesterday, and I want to read this again because I read it last night, but I really want to read this again. This comes from Commander Rob Green, who's been on this show a number of times. I am an active duty officer. I'm on the inside, and I can tell you there is no greater domestic threat to the Constitution than the DOD, which for those of you that don't know, that's Department of Defense, and many who currently lead her. Their unconstitutional actions have destroyed trust and made us weaker in the face of growing foreign threats. They chased off faith and freedom-loving military families. Many were separated involuntarily straight into homelessness. Some service members, isolated and abused by their own chains of command, were driven to suicide. These leaders are delusional to say that the escalating recruiting crisis is just because of the competitive job market or the lack of volunteerism or even the self-centered post-millennial generation. No, it is your own actions that have caused the 41,000 recruits shortfall predicted this year. Until we truly study what happened and attempt to repair all the harms done, the American people will not trust you with their sons and daughters, nor should they, by the way. That's my comment. And he adds the same, and they shouldn't. Our readiness will suffer until you own this and resign or turn over the reins of leaders who will honor the oaths of to the Constitution, even if it means personal career risk. Unfortunately, this becomes increasingly difficult when most of our nation is owned and controlled by a Zionist cabal. I mean, that's a sad statement, but it's a true statement. And we have become a nation where we are literally don't have much option anymore than to start facing a simple fact that we are occupied by foreign entities. We are occupied in such a horrific way that the control of our nation now is in the hands of others and in the hands of what we might call foreign intelligence operators. Let me play this for you here. This is Greg Reese's latest, and I think it sums things up very, very well.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned, and condemned unequivocally.
When Netanyahu demanded that the protests against Israel be stopped, the U.S. government complied, because our members of Congress have all been bought and paid for with tax dollars given to the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, known as AIPAC. AIPAC openly brags about this on their official website because they don't have to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which requires agents of foreign principals to register and provide transparency. Beginning in 1962, they were known as the American Zionist Council, and President John F. Kennedy was ordering them to register as a foreign agent. Along with members of the U.S. government, the Zionists fought against this. In October of 1963, forms were prepared for them to register. But the next month, JFK was assassinated, and Israel has never been asked to register since. 4 years later, Israel attacked the USS Liberty, murdering dozens of Americans and injuring over 100. The U.S. government helped them cover it up as an accident. On the day of 9/11, five Israelis, who were seen photographing the collapse of the Twin Towers and celebrating, were arrested and detained for several weeks. In documents later released by FOIA requests, the FBI redacted their faces in pictures where they were posing in front of the burning towers and described them as being happy and jovial. One of them stated, "Israel now has hope that the world will understand us." The end of the declassified document asks if they had foreknowledge of the event and were there to film it, and the answer was redacted. As soon as they were released, they returned to Israel and went on television, where they confirmed that the answer was yes.
"The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event."
The dancing Israelis had fake student IDs, and several accounts of suspicious Israeli art students were reported to be infiltrating government buildings. Over 100 of these Israeli art students were arrested. Fox News reported that these art students served in military intelligence and explosive ordnance units.
"The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and/or explosive ordnance units."
In March of 2000, several of these Mossad art students were living in the World Trade Center as part of the World Views Artist in Residence program. They occupied floors 90 and 91, where walls were unfinished and structural beams were exposed. A member of this group of artists, Hanan Sarfati, was arrested by the DEA as part of the Israeli spy ring. But the identities of an additional 14 Israelis who were with him have never been released to the public. These Israeli artists were sharing the space with a group of Austrian artists known as Gelatin, who were working on a project called The Bee Thing that involved removing windows on the 91st floor of the North Tower. A small balcony was constructed for people to stand on while photographs were taken by a helicopter. Another group, called E-Team, managed the helicopter with the designation number N666LH. This helicopter was to be in an art exhibit memorializing this project, scheduled for September 11th, 2001. In March of 2001, E-Team had an art project called 127 Windows. Officially, they were going to write their name on the exterior of the tower. They had an artist's rendering of what the project was supposed to look like, but it never appears to have happened. And on 9/11, American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the exact spot where they were supposedly preparing to do this. In 2001, Gelatin published a book on the project and described it as conspiratorial work. It includes a drawing of someone falling headfirst from the 91st floor with the words, 300 meters of pure pleasure. Gelatin was originally spelled the same as the explosive, but was officially changed in 2005. And the 9/11 Commission report does not mention Gelatin, E-Team, or any of the Israeli Mossad art students. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
This is another powerful report. Greg Reese is just outstanding. He's in Russia right now. And I'm just, as we're communicating here in chat, it looks like he's saying he's going to come back between June and July. Greg is not a Christian, and I don't hold that. He is somebody who needs a lot of prayer. He is a truth teller, and I guarantee you God is using him. And I do pray for him. I'm really just impressed with the work that he does. So please keep him in your prayers. He is one of the great truth tellers of our time. Well, here's the deal. I mean, we start to see this connection here. And what is the picture that is starting to evolve, which is very clear, is that, and we've been through this before, there is at the very least, and this is where we go, is there is an amazing coincidence of timing of trying to block the Zionist group from being a non-registered foreign entity and force them to register. And there's another part of that story that's not told enough, is that John F. Kennedy also was moving the U.S. dollar to a sovereign currency. Those things, and at the same time, trying to get us out of Vietnam. All three of those components were happening simultaneously within a very short period of time, months, weeks, depending on which event it was, he was assassinated. And when we run that rabbit trail into all of the people that were associated with the Dallas visit, the who owned the book, the library, the book building, all these, we always end up with the same class of people, which are the Zionist cult. I think that we can fairly assuredly say at this point in time that one way or another, Mossad, an extension of Israel, and probably in partnership with our own elements in the CIA, which had been infiltrated heavily by former Nazis, which will take us to the same group. This is all you have to start mapping this out and realizing we're dealing with a Khazarian mafia that are running under different flags. These people are despicable. They will fly under the Jewish flag, they'll fly under the Catholic flag, they'll fly under your politicians' flags, whatever. That group, which was housed out of what we call the State of Israel, organized under their secret agency called Mossad, which I would almost guarantee the deeper you go there, you're going to find the links back to Nazi Germany. What you're seeing there is an assassination of a U.S. president, and then later the integral involvement in the collapse and destruction of the Twin Towers. Now, and by the way, there's another rabbit hole if you want to get into. This is a great one. And it's very interesting because of what, on the day of 9/11, I was actually in Canada. on that day. I woke up to a dream of three rockets hitting a building, which was the building of New York. I saw it in my dream. They exploded on the building. I woke up. I was in a horrible mood that morning, and I was camping with a friend, and she had come by the room and said, "Hey, I'll meet you downstairs. You know, how are you doing?" And I was really grumpy. She's like, "Dude, I'm just going to meet you downstairs," which was probably a good idea. And so I got downstairs to discover that our country was under attack, and I'm watching my dream on the screen. It was unbelievable. So the reason I bring this up is the radio program we were listening to, which is being broadcast, I mean, live reports coming out. I think this one was being broadcast out of Ontario. The guy, the commentator on them, was a conservative news radio. Remember, this was Canada and not the Canada of today. The first one of the early reports, this is on the day of the attack, was that somebody had already done the research to discover that the building had been sold and reinsured, and that it had also been condemned, meaning that the building had a terminal life of about like 5 or 10 years. They were going to have to tear it down and rebuild it, and that they had already said that this was an insurance scam. That's been proven. That was amazing. That happened on that day. And of course, then the deeper we get into this, we get into the whole principle of who was actually involved, how did they do it. We forget that there was a previous attempt years, you know, in the number of years before. And then this event, there's all sorts of events to this. I mean, there's so many pieces and layers to this that are so important. The number of people that they say were killed is probably much greater than they actually admitted to. I think it's probably closer to 5,000 or 6,000, if not more, not the 3,000 that they hold to. And, of course, we have the dancing Israelis, which are unmistakable. So I don't care if you're directly involved or not, that in itself, and then putting those people on national news in Israel as if it was a good thing, I mean, just from a simple perspective of life and death, they all just need to go away. But Israel, in my opinion, and I'll be clear here, and I'll say it while we still can before they want to arrest me for saying such things, Israel was integral and involved heavily through Mossad in taking down those buildings. It was a coup against the United States, as they were probably, and as I believe truly anymore, that they were the ones behind the assassination of JFK. So we have been taken over by Israel, by the Zionists, and it's the Zionist cult of Israel is what that is. Take a listen to this interesting piece here in perspective from a Jewish rabbi.
The first two laws that Hitler implemented, Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, first two laws that Hitler implemented that not only put him in a different status than everybody else for the rest of history, but also made what's called until this day the biggest financial miracle in history. Who knows the first two laws? Before the Nuremberg laws. Before that, we're talking about years before it. Hitler first comes into power. What's the first two laws? Okay, I'll save you the time. Rule number one, no more pornography. No more homosexuality. None of that garbage. Not allowed. Berlin, in the 30s, in the 20s, was the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. They were the Las Vegas of the day. They were the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. Homosexuality, pornography, all the bestiality, all the garbage of the world, that was the capital of the world. He outlawed it. You're no longer allowed, closed all the bars, all the gay clubs, all the production, which were all run by Jewish people, unfortunately. Second rule. What's the second rule? Second rule was, you're not allowed to charge interest. No more interest. Now you would think, why? What does he care about interest? Well, because all the people that had the money, that lent the money out, were Jews. He didn't like it. So he said, no more interest. Why? Because of the high interest that the Jews charged people was so high, it ruined, it destroyed the economy in Germany. They destroyed, just like they destroyed Russia a few years before that through their communism over there. Jews destroyed Russia, not Goyim. Jews destroyed. Communism is by Jews. Well, don't let anybody confuse you. You look at history, Karl Marx, all the other Reshaim, they're all Jews. Wicked, but nonetheless Jews. They destroyed Russia, and he wrote in chapter 2 of Mein Kampf, They destroyed Russia. Now they want it, they're destroying Germany. That's why I have to destroy them. Now, this doesn't make he's right. Point is, that's actually real true history. Now, he saw that the Jews are controlling the financial system and they're charging such high interest. They destroyed the German economy to the extent that by the time you arrived to go to the store to buy bread, you had to take a whole horse carriage full of money. By the time you arrive at the store, it wasn't enough. Why? Because the inflation rate was so high. The bread became so much more valuable and your money went down. So now he says, what's this, the cause of this? Because nobody could afford to do anything because the interest rates are so high. So he decided no more interest rates. You're not allowed to charge interest rates. And at that time, the Great Depression was happening around the entire world. Everyone was in a financial collapse. America was a financial collapse. England was a financial collapse. Everybody else was collapsing. Germany collapsed worse than everybody else. But after he passed this law of no more interest, within 6 years, Germany became the leading wealthiest economy in the world.
Wow, just like that. Take away interest and everything booms. Like taking away taxes and everything booms. I want you to hear this. This is very interesting because if you start to study, I brought this up, I have been bringing this up and kind of building the case over the last few weeks. The Bolshevik Revolution happened in 1917. That's the same year that Lord Rothschild and the British foreign ambassador came to the agreement that the state of Palestine, the state of Israel, would be set up in the region of what we know as Palestine. They came to an agreement by letter exchange, and then it wasn't until 1940, I'm going to say 46 or 47, that they established the UN Charter, and I have to, the Balfour. It's a Balfour Agreement. I'm be honest with you, I have to check it because I haven't done this show yet. It's coming up. It's in my notes. But it was then until then that they established Israel. But why this is important is 1917 marks the coup against Russia, which is driven by the Zionists again. Zionists being, and remember, their root is where we see Ukraine today, which used to be called Khazaria. So it's a very different picture of the world. We're dealing with an ancient war against Christians. It's incredible. So I want you to read this, hear this, because this is a definition from a 1921 dictionary before dictionaries were rewritten. Remembering that Bolshevism is a Jewish, what we call a Zionist element of control. It says, how does it define fascist? This is very interesting. One of a body of Italian nationalists organized in 1919 under Benito Mussolini. Ready for this? To oppose Bolshevism. Folks, we have been so distorted in our way of thinking. This is unbelievable. I mean, quite literally, that which we have told to hate was that which we should told we should be told to love. I'm not kidding. Bolshevism wasn't a people's revolution. Bolshevism was literally the coup against the world. And it's a disgusting one at that. I mean, sheerly dark and evil in its whole perspective of what we're dealing with. This is a very important period of time of awakening to what we, the people, need to understand. Because in order, I'm going to go to this. I'm not a big believer that we're heading into a place of some sort of, you know, great awakening through Trump. I'm just going to be honest. And I've been reading a bunch of things about his comments lately. He's been very pro-Israel, stop the protests. He's obviously still holding the line pro-vax. And there's only, you have the Q side of this that's saying, no, he's speaking code and trying to keep himself hidden. I'm like, okay. And then you have the other side of this, which is he's part of the Zionist cult, which I would say that case can be very easily made by his text, his tweets, his truths, and his visual wearing of the yarmulke and kissing the wall, that whole thing. Where I think that the big issue is here is we are struggling with where the solution comes from, because I hear this all the time. And the solution ends up always being like, who's going to save us? We are. There's just no other way to say this. We are. And what ends up happening is, unfortunately, as the way God would work, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you can easily see this happening, is that God would give us Trump. And that idolatry of us worshiping a man to solve our problems rather than worshiping Jesus will lead us down yet darker paths until finally we break and are set free. This is the Exodus 2.0, right? And that's literally where I think that there's a strong chance that we're heading to. I can't speak that for fact, and I won't, other than to say that there's a tremendous amount of deception going on in this war. And quite frankly, as I've said before, God is not a God of deception. He's a God of truth. So we're dealing with some sort of cultist fight. History, though, is an important part of all of this and understanding where we are. Well, listen to this piece. This was when Biden, and remember that Biden took 94 executive actions in his first 100 days to annihilate border security while Americans are left with the developing consequences. Illegal open border policies are all by design to eliminate America as you know it. This is Biden early on. Take a listen to this.
And the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box. An unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
A source of our strength to eliminate the white European race. Why? Because that's where your predominant Christian race is. This is the hatred that these Babylonians have for us. And they are running under different masks and different banners. They fear Christ. They fear the Christian right. They fear it because they know what we represent. This is a great comment in our chat by Jazzy J. Putin is giving 5 hectares of land to those who agree to stay for 5 years. Man, this is starting to sound like a new home for Bars Nation. We're all going. We're all going to get our 5 hectares of land in one big place, and we're going to have like hectares and hectares and hectares of Bars Nation productive land. That's pretty good. I have to say it's pretty good. Elon Musk put up an interesting post, and I think it's worthy of mentioning. It says the axiomatic error undermining much of Western civilization is weak makes right. He says, if someone accepts explicitly or implicitly that the oppressed are always the good guys, then the natural conclusion is that the strong are the bad guys, which is exactly what this inversion is doing. Because by raising up the weak, you create a weak society. By raising up the psychopaths, you create a psychopathic society. And there we go. I'm going to play a piece here. It's about 2 minutes on from Glenn Beck. I'm going to give some opinions on this. There's a couple different opinions. But unfortunately, what this comes to is a weakness in understanding, once again, who we are. The Americans have a certain problem in our nation. And it's a deep problem. And it's a problem of accepting the identity of being American. When we came to this nation, the principle was that you came here to become something greater. You left behind all that was unworthy, and you brought with it all that was worthy to create a new land. That was the kind of the principal idea behind immigration. Immigration has been used as a weapon against us to blur that and to make it so that just anybody that wants to have a great chance can come here, and there's no real commitment to being American. You just want to be a melting pot of the world. That's the term we use now, which is basically like becoming the sewer pit for the rest of the world. And we're seeing it because they're dumping their prisons. They're unloading the worst of the worst. Trump was trying to get things in place to make the best of the best, but we're seeing this dumping of people into our nation. Unfortunately, that leads to a certain cultural guilt syndrome that happens, an unworthiness that's so inculcated into our churches, our pulpits, which is why you hear me say so often, you are worthy. I hate this unworthy thing. It just burns on me, and I have no contradiction within Scripture. And that we are born in the greatness of Christ and in God in this world, that we struggle with who we are and sin because of what we're embedded with in this world. Now, I know that runs headlong into other people because then they start telling me, no, we are born into sin. And I'm like, I struggle with this in a deep way because I and I do mean this, and it's probably going to, I've got some emails lately of people like, you just can't believe the things you say. And I'm like, well, okay, then take it to God. But here's the thing, is that God did not create an imperfect being. And as we are born into this imperfect world, we're immersed into sin. People say we are born in sin. Christ broke those bondages. That's how I see it. Christ broke those bondages, and then as we step in, we have to now make the choice of whom we serve. And we will sin, but we're not, I see the bondage is broken. So I say all this to set this piece up, because Glenn Beck has now decided that he sent a letter to Netanyahu to ask for dual citizenship, because his heart is called to become in one with his Israeli brothers. There is an interpretation of this, which I'm not saying it's wrong. It's an interpretation that he is being blackmailed with the deepest, darkest secret you can imagine. That's why he's so sincere and so earnest. He knows he's finished and thinks only Israel can protect him. That came from Genghis Khan. I love Genghis Khan. I've told you this, and I'm not disputing that. I'm also offering a different point, that this also could be very much just white guilt, which has become so inoculated into our culture that this privileged idea that there's somehow this, I am lesser, I want to be part of that. We were grafted in. There is no more two-tier nonsense going on in faith. And unfortunately, what you're going to hear from Glenn Beck here is a person that still believes in the two-tier concept of the chosen and those goyim that serve below him. Disappointing, I would say, is the least. I'm not impressed. And unfortunately, this happens a lot with Glenn Beck. He gets to the point of doing something really significant, and then right at that cusp, he reels it back. And I think we're at that point now with all the chaos that's going on in the world. Take a listen.
I don't know why I was born, but there is something about the state of Israel that connects deeply to me. To have the privilege to stand with the Jew is a tremendous honor spiritually. So I want to read a letter that I wrote that I am sending to the state of Israel. To Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the honorable officials at the state of Israel. In this moment, I have chosen to ask you for citizenship in the state of Israel. I have nothing to offer but my voice of support. And some might say that my support might be more valuable as an independent voice. Perhaps they're correct. But my request for citizenship is not about words, it is about deeds. Why, one might wonder, would I want to embrace a heritage and identity that is so ruthlessly hunted down again and again? Yet it is precisely during such moments that we must choose to stand. I anticipate no privileges or exemption from the state of Israel. I instead yearn to align myself with those willing to rise, to fight, and sacrifice for the fundamental right to live. Is this not what both Israel and America embody? In closing, my desire for dual citizenship does not stem from any expectation of gain, but from a deep-rooted belief in standing with what is right and true. 10 years ago, I took my children to Israel for the first time, but we first visited Auschwitz in Poland. I told them, "You cannot understand Israel without the Bible or Auschwitz." May Israel remain an eternal flame of hope, a beacon of resilience, and a testament to the enduring human spirit.
I'm going to tell you, our chat comments are awesome, and the comments on X are on fire. I'll just read the first one, because I can't even read the rest of them, because they're not even appropriate. It says, sounds like it's by way of his sphincter opening, going deeply inside. Oh my gosh, these people. It says, We are so sick of worshiping other nations, and I think that this is where we all get to, and in agreement. I am not. If someone wants to go live in Israel, go. That is your choice. Okay. And I'm cool with that. But here's the thing. The value of being American is greater than all things. The value of being American is greater than all things. It was a gift to come to a nation that literally said that God is above all things, that the people are subordinate to God and government is subordinate to the will of the people. That is a divine structure of an architecture of a nation that's profound. And yet where we have gone is a place where government sees itself as God, and we are then supposed to be subordinate to its will by its design, not ours, and then God somehow gets cast off into the trench alongside as we walk in parallel, and they say, oh yeah, don't forget about him. And in the process, a culture has migrated that way to a large degree, and we have forgotten his name. That's Jesus. I cannot stomach those that are always wanting to carry dual citizenship. By design, we were never supposed to have dual citizenship. You were supposed to give it all up to come here. So when you start talking about dual citizenship, this is what I say to you. God bless you, pack your bags, and leave. Because if it's that important to you to go somewhere else, then go. I have no angst towards that. I have nothing in my heart that says evil to that. I just bless you and say go, but this is not for you. What we want here are people that say and value what America is. I don't need to get dual citizenship. There's nowhere else in the world. We tease about Russia like we did a bit ago, just because it's just, you know, at this point, it's kind of like 5 hectares of land. Let's go, baby. But what we preserve in our heart, what's in our heart, is the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bible. Those are our founding structures. If we just have those documents in our home and the Bill of Rights, and we have those documents in the home, and that's all we ever read, you would be a wealthy, wealthy person. But standing out here and telling people that I'm going to go, and I'm pleading to, I'm like groveling, this is like bootlicking, I deserve a dual citizenship in Israel because I want to standing with the Jew. It just disgusts me even to say that. We are grafted in. God divorced Israel, Israelites, and then we grafted in with Christ, and now we are one. And I also don't buy, and I'm very serious about this, and this, again, this will get controversial with some. We hear this like, you know, the Israelites have always been so conscious of their bloodlines and who they're connected to. Well, I throw this study out because if that's the case, then it's a big flipping lie, because according to John Hopkins, it's like 94% of Israelis have no connection with the Hebrew bloodline, and yet 89% of the Palestinians do. That's the real war. That's what you're seeing. So we're dealing with, once again, those who control the media, those who control the science, those who control the institutions, those are manipulating history around us, and it's at a magnitude we can't comprehend. We would call that conspiracy, but conspiracy ceases to become conspiracy when it is truth. So the bottom line here is, Glenn, I'm just speaking to him. Glenn, I love you, man. You've done a lot of great things for the nation, but if Israel's that important, pack your bags and go and broadcast from there. We don't need you here. We don't need somebody with a split heart. We don't need somebody who's going to be confused with, like, I don't know if I want to be American by myself. And that's, when I look at the blood shed for our nation and somebody says this, and you've walked in those hallowed grounds of people who have sacrificed their life for the Constitution they've not wanted, and whether or not we agree with the war is irrelevant, their commitment to sacrificing their life for this nation and shedding their blood on foreign lands, they didn't ask for dual citizenship. And now you've got Glenn going, I want dual citizenship. Glenn Beck, I can't say the words I would say to you, but it begins with my middle finger. Get out. Said dead serious, get out, man. That incenses me, because he's not served that way. We have given, every American that has been committed to the American dream has given blood, sweat, and tears. When we take that to the next level of those who have served, they've shed blood and they've lost brothers, they've lost friends. And those bodies died on foreign lands, most of the time brought home, thank goodness. no patience for it. So if you're one of those that's confused right now that wants citizenship with Israel, God bless you. Pack your bags, get out. If you're one of those that says you want to move to Canada, God bless you, move out. We want Americans here. And there's millions of people in this world that want to be here to be an American, not to be some freeloading ankle weight that's coming across the border, trying to find a desperate place to make life easier. We want people that want to work hard to build a nation, to build something great, that want to be known as Americans, not as I'm an American with dual citizenship with Israel. I'm an American with dual citizenship with X. It just doesn't fly. We want people that are strong enough to be able to say, you know what, if you want to protest and speak your truth, even though I don't agree with it, I want you to come here and speak that truth. We will get into those debates. I want people that are on fire for America that can stand against those people that are saying, like, I'll hate America. And it's like, let's talk, let's have a legitimate conversation. But also be one of those protesters that if you have something to say, you have the maturity to sit down at a table like our founding fathers and discuss it through. We're not perfect. But I'll tell you what. If we get back to the Constitution, we get back to the Declaration of Independence, we get back to the Bill of Rights as it was intended in our nation, we're a whole lot more perfect than most nations on this earth, if not all. Congress is dual citizens, are all dual citizens, most of them. That tells you where their loyalty are, flying the Ukraine flags. Isn't that interesting? They're dual citizens with Israel and they're flying Ukraine flags. What does that tell you? It tells you where the source of power and control is. Follow the money, follow the blackmail, follow the children they rape. That's the bottom line. Follow the children they rape. And that's the secrets that they don't want you to know. We are in a place now where global citizenship, globalists, we are one global world. No, we're not. We're not. We can bring tribes under a banner. That's kind of our motto, the greater motto in Bard's Nation. We can bring tribes under a banner, but never do we ask for those tribes to lose their identity and blend to be nothing. It's the uniqueness in the body of Christ that gives us the richness in the world. I honor the diversity, but I also honor the unity within the body of Christ. This, I don't know what this is. Maybe he's needing new ad revenue or something. I don't know. So, by the way, that came from October 31st, 2023. So, I don't know. Whatever it is, it just reminds me, someone just wrote the word slop, and I was about to say it. It reminds me of what I feed the pigs in the morning. It's gross. So, slop. Disappointing. All right, Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to come to you today. We're just praying into the heart of this nation, heart of the people of this nation, the heart of the world that looks at this nation with such amazing views. We have such greatness within our fabric. We have such great people in our nation. We have such greatness in the founding documents and the fact that we're a nation built on Christian principles with the Bible. And we have amazing documents that are built around that concept. And it's literally at the root of things are the Ten Commandments of this nation. So, Father, we're just going to pray into the empowerment of that and the awakening of that and for people to seek that knowledge. So many people talk and have not read. They've never read the Constitution, never read the Declaration of Independence, never read the Bill of Rights. Read them. So we pray into that inspiration to read them, have them, own them, read them as we read Scripture. It's not enough just to read the Bible. We have to read who we are as a nation. And so, Father, he's praying into the pulpits as well today, just to pray that they will see this. You could give an assignment in your Bible studies. You could be reading the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and reading the Bible, and you can create an amazing study out of how deep our nation is, how rooted our nation is in Jesus. It could start with the Founder's Bible. So, Father, let's pray into this moment. This is a tremendous nation, a tremendous, incredible time. And we just pray to lift up the hearts of those of the resolve to be American, but to be Christian, to be American, to honor you in a system of government that we call American form of government, a republic, a concept where you're on the throne, where we the people are subordinate to you and government is subordinate to the wills of the people. Father, this is what we pray into. This was a divine structure of our government, not one to split and share and try to get dual citizenship and speak a confused and dual message. This is one of just the heart of who our nation is. We don't need a nation owned by another. So, Father, just as we kind of wrap this prayer today, we're just going to pray against these principalities that have been seizing control of our nation from outside our borders and from within, that have no intent to support the virtues and values and ethics of this nation, that have taken us off a moral deep end into an abominable place. And instead, we're praying into the heart of this nation as its resolve and breaking off those strongholds, standing in the gap and rebuking that demonic tie and raising our swords against those principalities, to shred those principalities and to break their ties and binds in this nation. So we lift up our sword today, Father, in the mightiness of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and we slay those demons, those serpents, those literal dragons that are holding the principalities in D.C. We stand against them and slay them, cutting the head off of them. There are flames literally spewing from their mouth, the screams coming from their throats. As we behead these demons, as we behead these dragons, red dragons, black dragons, surrounding all of D.C., these are the ones holding the power of principalities there, and we stand against them. It's like hobbits running against a giant, and we'll be those hobbits today. We'll be those hobbits with our swords drawn, stabbing, cutting, slicing, decimating that principality, and we just breathe and pray against it, and we just pray and pray against it with the power and the wind of eagles. And we pray against it, and we pray against it with the power and the voice of heaven as we speak and declare the word of Jesus over this nation, declare the word of Jesus over our capital. And we watch these mighty dragons shrink, and we watch these mighty dragons shrivel, and we just cast them out into the lake of fire as we open the portal and let them fall in and burn. And we just place a hedge of protection around this nation, around our capital, and we declare it in the name of kingdom, declare it in the name of Jesus, and we rebuke any demonic force that's there. And we lift this up in the holy name of Jesus, as this is our nation, as he stands now above our nation once again. We lift him up, and we pray into this. And we just let evil know that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High. We have come. There is a great shaking in the earth now. Know that we're here. Know that we are praying against this. Know that you get no more territory in this place. And so in the name of Jesus, we cast out and crush the walls of these strongholds, cast out these demons and these principalities, and cast them into the lake of fire, and reestablish our King Jesus above all things in this nation. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yep, we have the tools. We got to use them. All right, Patriots, show should be regular time tonight. Could shift an hour or so. Just be aware. I'll look for it. I'll be able to update it later today. I'm traveling all day. I'll be down in Yuba City tonight, staying with Brian and Alicia Derrico. See if I can't throw up a mic and maybe get them on tonight, which would be awesome if you'd remember them from Bards Fest. They're awesome. And maybe do something like that. And then tomorrow... The next 2 days, the show will be an hour earlier, just so I say it. I'll remind you tonight, they're going to be at 6 because I have to teach at 8. So there we go. All right, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tonight live from Yuba City. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.